Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Got to do Monday Night Football tonight. Monday Night Countdown, to be specific. I got to go over to SoFi. Hopefully the Eagles won't stink up the joint. They'll handle their business tonight. Definitely got to do that. Got a lot of NFL stuff to get into because we saw what transpired over there in Baltimore yesterday with Pittsburgh. In Buffalo yesterday against Cincinnati, in Green Bay yesterday against Chicago. There's a lot of stuff to get into, no doubt about that. We'll be talking NFL, but the story of the weekend is college football and the college football playoff selections. We've seen what transpired. We saw that Alabama get romped by Georgia in the SEC title game, but still didn't budge one inch from their ninth ranking, and as a result ended up in the playoffs. And, of course, the big story is that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish will not be in the college football playoffs, which is why I'm going to veer left, because usually I do my opening monologue and then I get to guest. But anytime we've got a special guest that takes precedent, and sitting right next to me here in Los Angeles, California, is a former linebacker for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, drafted in the second round in the NFL draft back in 2013, if I remember correctly, doing an outstanding job, not a good job, but an outstanding job on the NFL Network. I mean, he's trying to take my job. He's trying to take my job. I'm talking about the one and only Manti Te'o. What's going on, my man? How's everything
What's
going,
up,
man?
What's up, brother?
It's good to see you.
It's an honor to be here, my man.
Man, honored to have you. You are doing an outstanding job. You really are on the NFL Network. Everybody should watch you. You're doing a great, great job.
Thank you.
Your future is bright in this industry. But let's get right to it, my man. Notre Dame, your alma mater, did not make the college football playoffs. Was that the right decision made by the college football selection playoff selection committee?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I don't think, Stephen A., you follow this game very, very closely. You can't tell me that Notre Dame is not a top 12 team in college football. Okay. The way that they played. I know we have the first two losses of the season were to good teams in Miami and Texas A&M. But the way that Marcus Freeman has gotten those young men to play, both offensively and defensively, you can't tell me that those 12 teams in this college football playoff this year, that Notre Dame isn't in that category, in that equation. That's something that I don't agree with. But again, I'm not the one that makes the decisions. Mm-hmm. And if I was the one to make the decision, the Fighting Irish would be in there.
Well, let me push back on you a little bit with what you're saying. Number one, first of all, I do believe Notre Dame is one of the top 12 teams in the nation. But you and I both know highway robbery is synonymous with college football. We all know this. Let's not act like that's new to any of us, okay? Right. Every single year, last year, Alabama was complaining about how it was left out. Miami was complaining about how it was left out. This year, here's the deal. You know, Notre Dame, you had two losses. One of them was head-to-head against Miami, albeit August 31st. It was still a head-to-head matchup that you lost to the Miami Hurricanes. Don't you think that needs to play a role in the selection committee's decision?
For sure, for sure. And I don't think that for Notre Dame Fighting Irish fans, it's Miami that people are too worried about. It's the Alabama thing that people are worried about. I think also, if you take into consideration what Coach Marcus Freeman said, it is the best 12 teams today. Mm-hmm. It's not the best 12 teams in September. Mm-hmm. And if you look at how the season has played out, mm-hmm. the Notre Dame Fighting Irish team that line up against Miami in Hard Rock Stadium, it isn't the same Notre Dame team that lined up against Stanford in Palo Alto. Mm-hmm. And so if you take that also into consideration, you got to look at it. And if you want the best tournament, you have to put the best teams in the tournament. Listen, mm-hmm. Stephen A., this isn't March Madness. Mm-hmm. You don't have upsets like you have in basketball. This is college football.
Okay.
Right? You're not going to have somebody go up in there and beat Georgia mm-hmm. just because, right? You want to have Notre Dame or one of those Penn States or the Ohio States come up in there and actually have one of those games that we all are tuned into.
What about the argument that Alabama rolled up into the SEC title game Saturday night with two losses, just like Notre Dame? One of those wins that they had was against Georgia on the road in Athens. This is a top three team in the nation that you took out on their home turf just a few weeks earlier in this SEC championship game that they were in. Notre Dame was sitting at home watching because they ain't in the conference. And as a result, they were sitting home, chilling out, watching. Lord knows what they was eating. I'm assuming it was healthy food. But nevertheless, they were watching. They weren't playing while Alabama was subjected to Georgia getting a second shot at them. Why should that be held against them at the, you know, for the benefit of Notre Dame?
For the same reason why you held it against BYU that they lost to Texas Tech. That's the same reason why. You can't punish one and not punish the other. Mm. And I think that when you think about the SEC is one of the best, if not the best, conferences in all of college football. But I think sometimes the SEC gets that nod because of the type of talent that they develop there, mm-hmm. that if you do get a loss there, it's almost like, hey, it's okay as to in comparison if you lose in the Big 12 or in any other conference in college football, you don't have that same amount of grace where – like a team like BYU, you're going up against Texas Tech, but you get blown out that way. They get penalized, but a team like Alabama doesn't. I think that's where people see a little bit of controversy there.
So basically you're saying there's some favoritism on the part of the SEC?
I mean, come on, Stephen A.
I'm just asking. But no, I'm going someplace. If that's how you feel, why the hell hasn't Notre Dame joined the SEC? I'm quite sure they take everybody else. Well, damn. I mean, look at the teams that got added to the SEC. How come Notre Dame just didn't join to the elite conference? Why do they have to stand on the sidelines being an independent? Maybe if they joined a conference. Oh, by the way, they're in a conference, the ACC, in every other sport other than football. I mean, they know what they're doing, and that strategy has worked for them in the past. Mm-hmm. This is the one time it has appeared to burn them.
Well, there's both sides to this thing, right? Everybody mm-hmm. looks at Notre Dame not being a part of a conference as an advantage.
Okay.
It is also a disadvantage because we don't have that automatic conference playoff berth. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. So it's not about just who you beat, but it's how you beat them. Right. And that's what weighs heavily when you consider somebody like Notre Dame. Now, that is above my pay grade. Yeah, okay, you can't. Yeah. If you're a Notre Dame and you don't have a conference championship game,
right.
they also look at your body of work and yes. not just who you beat, okay. but how you beat
but
them.
But you're sounding like that's a reason to celebrate them. I'm telling you, that's a reason to malign them. Because when you look at Notre Dame right now compared to Alabama, Alabama was ranked 11th in strength of schedule this year. Notre Dame was number 42, bruh. 42.
Stephen A., what is strength of schedule based on?
Strength of the quality of opponents.
Based on what year?
What do you mean based on what year? The previous year.
Previous year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right. 2020. This is 2025.
That's right.
Right. So that's the fault with strength of schedule is okay. We're going off of what happened last year. Okay. We're talking about an Alabama team that is playing teams that did well last year. Mm-hmm. If we went off of last year, mm-hmm. Notre Dame played a national championship last year. So, mm-hmm. that, again, strength of schedule, I always look at that term with some caution, right? It's when we went to the national championship my senior year,
right.
we had, according to strength of schedule,
right.
the toughest schedule in college football. Mm-hmm. But then all of those teams that we played, Oklahoma, Miami, USC, they right. started to lose throughout that 2012 season. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, because we beat them mm-hmm. and they didn't have good right. season, people say, oh, Notre Dame had a soft schedule.
Right.
That it wasn't the case back in August.
Here's the disadvantage that we're here in front of a little studio audience here in L.A. You know, it's a nice setup here at SiriusXM. Really, really appreciate them bringing us together. I got the one and only man, Tateo, sitting right next to me right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. And you're talking, and you're forgetting that I watch you and that I know you know your football. So here's my thing to you. While you were talking, I took the liberty of looking up that schedule that you just alluded to.
Okay.
And you said that it was based on last year, and that's why they shouldn't be penalized, yeah. stuff like that. Okay, so you got Miami, and you got Texas A&M, who you lost to 41-40. Yeah. Highly competitive game, very entertaining. I watched that from start to finish. Let me throw out some of these other okay. schools, these last 10 weeks that you won by an average of 29.7 points.
Okay.
Let me throw that out there, okay? Purdue. Arkansas.
Wait. What conference is Arkansas?
Arkansas is SEC. Okay. You beat them 56-13, by the
okay.
way, so you really
right.
annihilated
okay.
them. Boise State. You know, with the blue field.
Yeah,
blue
yeah,
field.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the only blue football yeah, field yeah. in America.
Ashton Jensen was going crazy on that field a year ago.
Yeah, well, he ain't doing it now,
yeah,
so
yeah,
let's bring him up. My condolences to him and what's happening to him in Las Vegas. What goes on in Vegas needs to stay the hell in Vegas, as they see, especially what's going on with the Raiders right now. North Carolina State, USC,
mm-hmm.
All right. We ain't heard from Lincoln Riley in two years. I mean, damn. You know, they're a good team, but, you know, ranked 20th. We expected more from Lincoln Riley, okay? Boston College.
Hey, we always play them.
Navy.
Always play them.
Navy. We appreciate their service to our country. Okay, let's say that, okay? All right, but we ain't talking football, though, all right? Pittsburgh. Okay. College football game day showed up. Everybody showed up in the house. Reese Davis, Pat McAfee, Coach Saban, Kirk Herbstreit, my man Desmond Howard. And it was supposed to be a big deal, and Notre Dame romped them, okay? They were ranked 23 at the time. You got Syracuse and Stanford. That's your schedule.
Okay.
You Notre Dame.
We line
you're independent.
Them up. You're and we knock them
but
down,
you're Notre
bro.
Dame, you're independent, which means you basically set your schedule. You could have had some of the schools up on here in the months of late October and throughout November. Mm-hmm. You could have had a better schedule. You Notre Dame.
So with Notre Dame, you have to understand, as far as this conference talk, we have so many different teams who we have iconic matchups against. Unfortunately, one of the teams that we don't play anymore is the University of Michigan, which in my opinion is one of the best rivalries in college football.
Okay.
So there are so many different teams in conferences. USC once been Pac-12, now Big 12. Mm-hmm. Then you got Michigan. Now you have Navy, Purdue. All of these teams, Navy, one of the oldest rivalries in all of college football. It's hard for us to be football-wise in a conference and still respect all of these big games. And so traditionally and historically, I also think that Notre Dame does have to play certain teams. But to your point, Stephen, I do see that there are opponents that we could play, but we did play everybody from different conferences. So I, at the end of the day, I don't know what else is expected from us. I saw something this morning. I think people expect us to play Alabama first game, Georgia next game, Ohio State the other game, then go to USC, then you go to Texas A&M, Texas, and just play big dogs all the way down, and maybe that will appease the crowd. But again, it's Notre Dame.
I think it's because of your independence, and y'all are independent with everything else that's advantageous for y'all. Y'all make sure y'all ain't got to share any money when you get it because you ain't got a conference. You obviously dictate your schedule. You got your own television. There's no school that has its own isolated television contract, but y'all NBC. Okay, so we got all of this going on. All right, fair enough. Right. Let me get to the athletic director because he was on Dan Patrick's show this morning. I think his name is Pete
Bavakwa.
Right. And he had some interesting things to say to Dan Patrick this morning, essentially saying that they're not pleased at all with how the ACC essentially campaigned against Notre Dame being in the playoffs. They went out of their way. And, you know, again, I'm not quoting him directly because I don't have their direct quote in front of me. But that's essentially what he alluded to and basically said, considering the relationship we have with them in every other sport, you know, we take this very, very personally. And, you know, he indicated that irreparable harm has been done to this relationship with the ACC. Do you agree with him on that?
Well, I honestly don't know all of the details into what happened, right? As far as what the ACC was saying in regards to Notre Dame not being in the playoffs. But what I do know is Bavakwa understands the weight that the Notre Dame logo and the Notre Dame brand does have. And if you speak about Notre Dame in a certain way, especially if we have affiliations with you, with historically us being an independent, if we do make that certain commitment to you, I think that there is an expectation that that will be reciprocated at some degree.
Right.
And so if you harm Notre Dame in a certain way, I think Pete has all right to come out and say, hey, this isn't what we signed up for.
Man, you special, bro. I mean, let me tell you something right now. I hope everybody at Notre Dame is as loyal as you are. I mean, I don't know what to say. I will say this to you. I can't. When I look at what the ACC was doing. First of all, let's not throw, you know, roses in Notre Dame's direction, acting like they do so much for the ACC. The reality is that the other sports that are participants, you know, with the ACC, I mean, it's nice to have Notre Dame in there, but essentially it's not like you need it. What are we talking about here, okay? I mean, the basketball program is decent. What are we talking about here? Volleyball? Is there a lacrosse program that I didn't know about? I mean, I don't know, but I'm saying to you, football is the creme de la creme.
Yes.
And Notre Dame's going to do business with the ACC, but not with football. Mm-hmm. They want it to remain independent. The ACC has an opportunity to push for Miami to get in because Miami is on a bubble because they ain't in the conference championship game. That's Virginia, who's ranked 17th, which was five spots behind Miami. And Duke ain't even ranked because they got five losses, but they in the ACC championship game. So the ACC is seeing Miami and they're saying, man, we got a chance. You know, let's push for them and not for Notre Dame, because Notre Dame ain't representing our conference. They don't engage in revenue sharing with us. Mm-hmm. Why would we push for that? So I think, Pavakwa, I'm just saying to myself, look, you don't understand business. Y'all conduct business better than anybody in college football, one would even argue.
He understands business from Notre Dame standpoint, and that's where he has to stand, right? And I also understand, and you know this from your other shows, mm-hmm. Stephen A., you also have to understand the perspective of the other side, which is the ACC. Sure. And they have to stand up for what they know is right and what represents them. And so when it comes to the table, you have Notre Dame, who is not only I'll say this on your show, Notre Dame is a global brand. Mm-hmm. We're not just a national brand.
Okay.
Like it's you take that interlocking ND and you've traveled around the world, I've traveled around the world. That interlocking ND is recognized everywhere.
Okay.
Right? You weigh that with what the ACC has. I do not fault the ACC for trying to stand on what they have to stand on, but you also have to respect that Pete Kwakwa knows who he represents and what he represents and the tone at which he has to come at it.
I got you. Talking to Manti Te'o right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's get to some NFL stuff, what you're doing all the time. And again, outstanding job on the NFL Network. Major props to you for that. What stood out to you yesterday? Was it Green Bay beating Chicago? Was it the Texans knocking off Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes might miss the playoffs for the first time in his career as a starting quarterback? Was it Pittsburgh knocking off Lamar Jackson? Was it the Bengals, Joe Burrow throwing back-to-back interceptions, which was shocking and uncharacteristic for him, and Buffalo ultimately winning that game? What stood out to you more than anything else yesterday in the NFL?
I probably would have to say that fourth down call that Andy Reid called in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
It's fourth and one. Your defense just had 5-3 and outs, I think it was.
Right.
You're on, I believe it was a 30-yard line, Stephen A., and you call a fourth down play with an offense that had been struggling up to that point. And for me, if I'm somebody like Chris Jones, right, if I'm somebody like Nick Bolton or Drew Tranquil, and I have been holding it down for this team for the past 3.5 quarters.
Right.
And you choose to go for it in that circumstance, I almost take it as a shot at my defense that you don't trust my defense to continue to dominate a Houston Texans offense in the way that they were doing, knowing that you're going against the best defense in the NFL, which is the Houston Texans defense, and what that would mean. And Kaimi Fairbairn, who went to my high school, is clutch at that yardage. Okay. So that was what stood out to me. There's a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of scenarios, but I thought at the way that Chiefs defense was playing, how Spags had them, it literally was they burned the boats, right, Stephen A. Like they were sending blitz after blitz after blitz, and they were getting home. I thought that Andy Reid dialing up a fourth down conversion play on that side of the field was the biggest thing that stood out to me.
So Kansas City's likely not going to make the playoffs. Baltimore's likely not going to make the playoffs. Sad. That was a touchdown by Likely, by the way. That was a touchdown. I can't believe they overturned that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Buffalo probably will make the playoffs. But of the surprise teams to some degree, cats that are creeping in, I'm looking at the Texans. I'm looking at the Denver Broncos. Chargers, obviously, is somebody we got to pay attention to. Got to pay attention to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are still in first place in the AFC South. Who do you think may represent the AFC?
I got the Patriots.
Wow.
I got the Patriots. I think if you look at the Patriots, you look at an offense. I call Drake May the Iron Chef. And what I mean by that is, if you know and reference the show, the Iron Chef has a secret ingredient every week, right? Mm-hmm. A different one.
Right.
When you watch Drake May play, he has a secret ingredient, a new one every single week, whether it's Diggs, whether it's Booty, whether it's Hunter Henry, whether it's Trayvon Henderson. He has a different ingredient. And for a defensive guy, it's hard for me to plan against you when I don't know where your go-to is. Mm. Now I have to play you honest. Now I can't roll coverage to a certain receiver. Now I can't stack the box in certain down and distances because, in my opinion, from watching Drake May, you don't have a tail. And we haven't even got to the special teams unit.
That's true.
Who last week, you already saw they put up a touchdown and had a couple of major stops on the special team side. And then defensively, they play exactly like their head coach. Mm. Discipline, they swarm, and they play extremely physical. Right? You have that Jackson Dart, how that felt to run around on that defense.
That's right.
So when I watch them from top to bottom, I look at their head coach and the values and the leadership style which he has. They have what I think it takes to not only go through the playoffs, but get to the Super Bowl and be very, very successful there. So I got
to
go with the Patriots.
Doesn't hurt that the road to the Super Bowl probably is going to go through Foxborough unless Denver's able to catch them for home field advantage. And they've got a coach in Vrabel that Tennessee is still melting down over letting go. I don't know what the hell they were thinking. In the NFC, we've seen the reigning defending Super Bowl champions fade. A lot of friction going on, and there's something just doesn't seem right. Dallas was making us interested in them again, and then they went to bed the other day. No surprise there. But we look at when we look at the Packers, we just saw them beat Chicago. The Rams and the Seahawks, I cannot ignore.
Yeah,
I cannot ignore because of their defenses, and in the case of the Rams, because of Puka Nacua and obviously the great Matthew Stafford. But Jordan Love has given indications that he might be ready to elevate his game to another level. Come postseason time, who are you looking at in the NFC?
I've always been high on the Rams, Stephen A., and this is why. They have a young defense that is fast and they're disciplined. On the offensive side of the ball, you mentioned Matt Stafford, you mentioned Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, you got Kyren Williams, and Blake Corum, who also had a big day yesterday. What I said earlier in this season, before it began, was when you factor in Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. Davante Adams is probably one of the best, if not the best, currently one-on-one receiver as the X wide receiver. For those of you who don't know what the X wide receiver is, it's that weak side wide receiver that stands solo against everybody else. What does that do? What luxury is that for Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford is able to pre-diagnose what defense you're running. Why? Because if you don't have a safety over there, Stephen A., the ball is going to Davante Adams 10 times out of 10, and it usually goes to him in the red zone.
That's right.
Davante Adams usually converts. And you see that, especially down in the low red on the goal line. You'll see Matt Stafford send somebody in motion, and if he sees the defender follow him, he already knows you're in the one coverage that he loves is cover one. And if number 17 is ISO'd one-on-one with anybody, he's going to him every single time. Now, if you send a safety over there, Stephen A., he's going to look worse. Where's number 12?
There you go.
And he's going to get number 12 the ball. So if you put both safeties back there, Stephen A., guess what? He's going to hand the ball off.
Right.
So they pose a dilemma for every single defense that you can't beat them. Why? Because with all of those weapons at his disposal, Matt Stafford is playing some of his best football he's ever played. He's playing with them, Stephen A.
Does that thought, he's special, no doubt. But does that thought process still hold weight even if the road to the Super Bowl has to go through Seattle? I'm talking about a road game in Seattle. I have no doubt. You saw the SoFi Stadium, different animal.
Yeah.
But if they got to go to Seattle, that crowd, that 12th man, it's a little bit different, ain't it?
Well, it's going to be different. However, if you look at what they did last year at the Link,
true,
where they're one play away from representing the NFC,
that's true.
One play. In that snow against not this Eagles team, the 2024 Eagles team, the team that Saquon almost broke Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record. That was the team that they went into the Link and fought against. This team, the Rams team this year, they're far better than that team that they were last year. So I also take into consideration that somebody like Sean McVay, who I think is one of the best head coaches in the entire NFL.
Maybe the best in the business.
I would take Sean McVay anywhere and everywhere against whoever they're playing because of what he stands for. And you see him on the sideline, Stephen A., getting his guys ready and motivating them. He's not one of those head coaches that just stands on the sideline and just calls plays. He goes to the bench. He gets the guys ready. When people make mistakes, he greets them first, tries to encourage them. He does everything that you would want a head coach to do as a player myself, to help bring the best out of me. And so that's why all facets, I think, the Rams.
Last question for you. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, first of all, I got a Monday night game tonight against the Chargers. Want to know what you think about that game. And number two, have you lost faith in the Eagles' chances to repeat?
I have. And this is the reason. I think there's been so much attention that has been on the whole Jalen Hurts versus A.J. Brown and getting A.J. Brown the ball, where they lost focus on what truly makes this offense go, and that's the run game.
Is that their fault or Saquon Barkley's fault?
It's a team game, isn't it?
I understand, Lane Johnson being out certainly doesn't help matters.
But listen,
I spoke to the LAPD. There's APB out for Saquon Barkley, man. I mean, we've been looking for him.
Yeah.
I mean, where the hell 2,005 yards rushing last year? Where the hell you at this year? I mean, come on.
So there's a dynamic when I watch this Eagles team that I think is. It was prevalent last year. It isn't this year. And that was Jalen Hurts running the ball, at least being a threat to run the ball in the run game. When you have a quarterback and a running back in this RPO system that they used to run, where the running back can go left, but the quarterback can go right. Defensively, I can't commit to one guy. Right. When I watch the Eagles play, there isn't that much of a threat in this RPO system of Jalen pulling the ball and running it. They used to run things where the tight end would come around and lead block for Jalen, and he would pull it and run for you. They don't really run that anymore. So defensively, when I know that you're in shotgun, I can almost bet that Saquon Barkley is getting this ball. And when you have so much attention on one guy, you're not going to have the type of progress that you had last year. And when you don't have that in the run game, your pass game, which is your counterpunch, which I think that the Eagles were last year. The reason why A.J. Brown was open so many times, Stephen A., is because the defenses were so scared about the run game that those safeties had to come down. That's why those deep shots kept coming, and they kept raining last year. But now, since defenses can keep that two-shell back there and that front seven can beat up that run game, it's not as dynamic. It's not not as explosive. So
are they winning tonight? Are they beating the Chargers tonight, bro? I mean, I know NFL Network is right nearby.
Yeah.
So far, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you might run into some of the Chargers. So, I mean,
I am a Charger, you know what I mean?
I know that. I know that. That's where you were first 5-6 years of your career. I got it. I got it, but, you know, I understand. You know, it's okay.
I'll say yes. I'll say the Chargers are going to win this one, and this is why. If Jalen Carter isn't in the game, that run game.
He's not.
If he's not in that game, we saw what happened week one when he got disqualified, what the Dallas Cowboys were able to do to that three technique and move the interior of that line. So if you have that, and knowing that the Chargers want to actually run the ball, and with Justin Herbert, with whatever's going on with his left hand, can't really throw it down the field for whatever reason, even though he's right-handed, I'm going to give the nod to the Chargers.
I got you.
I got
you. You're going with the Chargers. You're going with the Chargers. By the way, I'm not blaming everything on the offensive coordinator. I think Petullo, I mean, it's a problem, but in the same breath, you're Sirianni. You got the same crew of dudes. You should have been able to mimic to some degree, some strong degree, what you had last year, and you didn't do it. Yeah. That's where I'm at. My man.
Brother.
Proud of you, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate
proud of you, man.
For
keep doing, keep up the great work. No doubt. Don't come take my job.
No, ain't nobody touching you.
I got four years left. All right. One and only man, Ty Taylor, right here with one and only Stephen A. Smith. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. I'm going to transition because I got another special guest coming on the line. Got a big time basketball program. You know, Coach Close. I mean, she's doing some special things out there in Westwood. So she's going to be in the house. Looking forward to talking to her as well. And, of course, I loved talking to him. I love feeling edified. You know what I'm saying? When I, you know, all of a sudden you're listening to somebody that played, damn it, because I never want to play football. Don't hit me. Don't hit me. I don't want that. I don't want that part of life, okay? I like sitting right where I am. Right?
Yeah, yeah. You're my brother, bro. You're on my team.
Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, back with more in a minute.